Here we are, worldwide live through VBS Radio Online. Welcome to you all. Today it is July 17, 2017. 7-17-17. Welcome to this episode of the Win Free Hour coming up in just a few minutes. As usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. Somebody else joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hey, John. Welcome. How are you?
Was.
And let's see, we have 4 minutes open. I will start playing this song, and as soon as the next one comes in, caller, I will keep the lines open. May.
Yes.
He's singing to you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Hey, John. Can't hear you, John. You might be muted. I welcome all those folks that are here who joined in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for participating. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location. But only if you want to, we welcome you. And we're only a minute away from the hour. We wait for more people to join in here on the conference call, and I welcome all you who are here listening online through BBS Radio.
And thank you again for playing those wind songs. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. And as I want to say again, that every day at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have the whole planet healing call. I welcome the next caller over here on this. Being here, please say a name and location.
As Don in Ohio. Hi, Heiss, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome over here.
Thanks.
This is Terry in Dallas.
And hello, Teddy. Welcome to you.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Hi, Heiss.
Yes. I hear you. Did somebody else join in? I believe so. Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hi, Heiss. It's Prudy in Michigan.
Oh, hi, Prudy. Welcome.
Hi, Heiss. Thank you.
Thank you
hi,
for
Prudy.
Being here. More
hi.
People have joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry Brown. Welcome, my dear sister. How are you?
Thank you. Pretty good.
All right.
Welcome, Terry. We're sending you some love and happiness and giggles.
All right. I like it.
Keep on.
Were you able to did you retrieve your purse the other night, Terry?
Oh, yeah, I did. His coat and my purse were still at the table when I went back there.
Okay. That's a big tip.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, more people joining. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Good evening, hey,
Chris.
Hello, Chris. Come and I hear Cleo. Hello, Cleo.
Hi.
Welcome to you guys. Who else joined in? Welcome. Please say your name and location. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
My name is Lynn Free.
Are you from Sedona? Free win.
Merman in Arizona.
Raiden.
Positive greeting.
Positive greeting.
Hi, Tara.
Hi there.
All welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Melissa in California.
Melissa, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. Hi.
Who else joined in? Please.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Wynn in Sedona. Welcome, Wynn.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Please. Then I'm going to turn the dings off. Welcome to all those that are here listening into this radio.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 17th, 2017. And I don't know, is Terry on the line yet?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi there.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
So, listen, we're going to do a three-hour channeling now, okay?
Well, we only got an hour.
That's it.
Oh, my. We're going to crush it down.
You got to talk. You just got to talk. You just got to talk fast. I'm kidding you, Terry.
I know you are.
I'm going to do a replay. How many of you remember this call? I mean, I remember when I did it, I was a little scared to do it. You know, I always have to figure out what should I say, what shouldn't I say, what's going to get people mad at me. And sometimes that happens, but do you guys remember the call on rewriting the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. How many never heard it?
I haven't heard it.
Anyone else?
I don't remember a damn thing.
Well, I don't remember it.
Me neither.
All right. Well, let me just tell you. This call got more emails after it than any call I had ever done prior, because it's so radical. It explains things that the first time you hear it, it's like going into shock. So that's my introduction. And let's see here. Movement free. This is July.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Out of Sedona, California, at least that's where our bodies are, and our energies are, I don't know if I want to say everywhere, but we're with you. We're with you. The universe is with you. Loving consciousness is with you and with us, and we're all connecting in that. And I don't know if you guys saw the email that I sent out, but today is going to be one of those calls where I talk about one of the sacred cows, something that has been probably the foundation of Judeo-Christianity, which is the Old Testament. And I don't usually like to take on those things because I don't want to offend anyone's belief systems. And that has to do with any religion. And another thing is, if you notice, when I talk about a subject like this, guys, be sure and tell me if my phone starts cutting out, okay? Because I probably won't know, and of course, if it cuts out, I probably won't hear you. But maybe
wait a minute, move your microphone a little bit away from you.
Thank you. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a bit too far away from you, I think.
It's too far away?
Yeah.
God, you're so fickle. Jeez. All right, but in the case of the stuff that I'm going to talk about tonight, you know, I do a lot of searches. We ask a lot of questions, and I usually don't like to do a call based on information that strictly comes from challenges. Because, you know, there's always a question, particularly if you're talking about a sacred cow, and if you're talking about the Old Testament, for example, if there's information which is contradictory to what's in the Old Testament, it kind of puts me in kind of competition with tradition, and it's only because I have this source talking to me, and how do I prove that's true? And I don't want to prove it's true. In fact, it's really not productive to go that route. It's not productive to say, I'm talking to this voice, and they say this, and this is the truth. I mean, it causes people to give up their power. They'll say, I'll believe when, I won't believe that, I'll believe this. So I don't like to encourage that way of researching, you know, delivering information. But we've had a number, or at least a few conversations about this in many years, and there happens to be an unusual amount of information that other researchers have done, researchers, not channelers, that have come up with a similar outcome. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about that tonight, since Judeo-Christianity has been such a foundation of Western religion, beliefs, even ethics in the past, maybe not now, but in the past, it created an ethical guideline for people to follow. And there's a lot of stuff about it in the raw material, which is contradictory. There's a lot of stuff that we've come up with that's contradictory. And those of you who have been following these calls know that we've done a series of calls on Monday nights called How the Elohim Created the Universe, in which case they talked about being many millions of energies that were subdivisions of what they call the one infinite creator, that learned how to create frequencies, the bounced frequencies that became nodes in space-time, which became the beginning of a location. Keep in mind, in the beginning, there was no location. There was just energy and awarenesses of energy. And everything that we see, feel, experience is involved in a location and in time. And so on some level, there had to be some kind of way of creating space and time. Now, I'm sure there was time when before there was a physical universe, because you cannot have awareness unless you have time. Awareness means you know what was before and what's after. So there has to be some sense of time for there to be individuation to begin with. So obviously there was a sense of time in, this is me talking now, this is, I'm not quoting them. There had to be some sense of time when the Elohim existed before the physical universe. And then for there to be persistence. What's persistence? Something sticks. It's not like a tree. You look at the tree today, you look at the tree tomorrow, it's got persistence. It exists in space-time. It doesn't go anywhere. And in fact, it's very solid. And you exist in space-time. And you're not going anywhere. But you're going, you are, actually, I won't say you're not going anywhere, because probably unlike a tree, which is very fixed, and some of us may have been trees at one point, a human consciousness does go places. We think about things. We experience energies on these lines. We experience energies with each other. We experience vibes. And to some extent, we are moving outside of space-time. At the same time, we're moving in it. Well, in any case, there was the beginning of a physical universe. There was DNA. There was the beginnings of life. There was evolution. There was creation. There's more questions to ask on this topic, which I have not yet asked, and we'll do more sessions in the future, and I'll get around to it. And the one thing that we did ask is that some Elohim chose to come into this realm and experience it. And I would assume, I haven't asked this, but I would assume when that first happened, they would occupy, they could occupy a body here. Was it a physical body? Was it an animal body? I haven't asked those questions. But they could occupy it. They could look through its eyes. They could see the universe from inside it. And then they could go back to their realm. And then they started getting stuck here. And Edgar Cayce, I didn't ask this question to our sources, but Edgar Cayce said the reason they got stuck was because of sex. Not that sex was bad, but when they experienced sex through the body of who they were occupying, you know, when you have sex, it's not just a physical experience. Your energy moves into the energy of the other being, and it stays there. And that other being is now holding part of your energy, and you're holding part of their energy. So my speculation is that when they had sex and there were other beings that were holding part of their energy, they couldn't leave the realm. They got stuck here. And then they got involved in reincarnation, and they forgot who they were. They forgot that they were Elohim, but they did know that they had power in this realm, and that they could create subservience to the other beings here. And so they started to use their power, and they became the elite. They became the controllers. And in general, what we call the negative elite today is derivative of those original Elohim that came into this realm. So let's take a look at the Bible. Well, I'm going to refer to two pieces of scientific documentation and two pieces of researchers who had studied things. One of the things is that the oldest civilization on our planet was in somewhere called Sumeria. And that civilization is no more, but there are still ruins from it. And there was a scholar by the name of Zachariah Sitchin that was studying those ruins, and he found stories on cave carvings that had never been revealed before. And in those stories, in those stories, there was a history of the ancestors of the Sumerians. And not so long distant ancestors. Maybe, you know, at the time the stories were written, could have been, I don't know. I don't know how long. I don't know if you could figure that out. But it didn't seem like it was a long time. And he's written 7 books, all of them very scholarly, very documented, where in the stories of the Sumerians, there were spaceships that had landed. And the spaceships were mining gold. And they called the people on the spaceships, I believe, I don't know if this was on the caves, I don't know how he interpreted this word, but they called them the Anunnaki. And that they were created by the Anunnaki because of, in order to be slaves, to mine gold. And when we had asked about this, we got some confirmation that that was true. And the way the story goes is that there were 2 brothers, both Anunnaki, which means they were Elohim descendants in this realm. The Anunnaki had a home planet, and for some reason, still unknown, they needed gold on their home planet. And they had found that there was a lot of gold to be mined on planet Earth, in particular in South Africa. And they landed in their spaceships, and they started mining the gold, but they went on strike because their bodies were not used to such physical labor, and or they didn't want to do it because they felt bigger than that. And so there was the decision made to create a hybrid of their genes and an indigenous species on the planet, which was the ape. And they were master genetic scientists. So they did create a hybrid. And the hybrids had to be gestated in their women. So they were creating hybrids, gestating them in their women who would mine their gold for them. Now, I'm going to take a moment here. Let me see if I find this reference here. Here it is. Here's a reference in National Geographic News, published April 8th, 2010. Now, probably you've heard people refer to something called the missing link. And the missing link has to do with where is the transition species when apes turn into humans? Because it is accepted scientifically that humans are derivatives of apes. And for a long, long time, there was no indication, no transition species found that showed exactly when and where that occurred. And now, in National Geographic, there's a new human ancestor dubbed Australopithecus or something like that, which may be the key transitional species between the ape-like, can't read these words, Australopithecinus, and the first Homo or human species, according to this new study, found in the remnants of an underground cave network in South Africa. The partial skeletons are believed to be from a 30-year-old woman and an 8 to 13-year-old boy, who apparently fell to their deaths into a chasm littered with corpses of saber-toothed cats and other predators. The new species may be the wellspring in the local Sotho tribal language from which our ancestors flowed, the report suggests. Well, I thought that's a very interesting thing because, according to one piece of information, these Anunnaki were crossbreeding in South Africa, and now they have found skeletons of something, here, Acetabo has a number of key traits that some would say mark it as an early human, like Homo habilis, which many consider the first human species. But the Sidiba, which is what they call these bodies, had long legs and certain human-like characteristics in its pelvis, which would have made it the first human ancestor to walk, perhaps even run, in an energy-efficient manner. Also, the face had small teeth and a modern rather chimpanzee, a modern rather than a chimpanzee-like nose, the study says. And as in humans, the shapes of the left and right brain halves, discernible from indentations on a remarkably preserved skull, appear to have been uneven. A facial reconstruction is in the works, and many people will be surprised by how human the new fossil species looks. Berger predicted in a press conference Wednesday, what you'll see is something surprisingly more modern than we would suspect. Well, now, there's another something in South Africa. There's something called Adam's calendar. In fact, there was a gentleman on our line who was sending me all kinds of information about Adam's calendar 2 years ago, Mac Boogaloo. If you're listening, Mac, thank you. And Adam's calendar is a unusual assortment of stones that indicate a lot of, let me see if I can find this here, a lot of astronomical knowledge. And guess where Adam's calendar is? It was also in South Africa. So let's reconstruct some of the story that's based on some of the questions I've asked and some of the research that I did and see how it correlates. And when we ask the question, the answer was that the Anunnaki, these guys that are in spaceships, that have a home planet, that are descendants of the Elohim, and when I asked them, were you talking to them? And the answer was, in general, no. They didn't know. They were, at least, they didn't know they were descendants of the Elohim, except at some point, they must have known, because the Bible uses the word Elohim, and it says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. They didn't say God mated, they said the sons of God. And that would be a good way to describe these descended Elohim souls in this realm. So, they said there were many starts and stops. There were many times when there were slaves made by genetic work from this planet, and then they were wiped out, or they died, or for whatever reason, they didn't continue. Well, if we go back to this period I'm talking about, which is the most recent time that that occurred, we have these two brothers, Enki and Enlil. We have these hybrid beings that can't reproduce. And they're being gestated in the women of the time. Now, this is not from my sources. This is from stuff on the web. And the women started getting tired of being pregnant all the time and gestating these women. I mean, these beings. And so the idea came about as, why don't we allow reproduction to occur in these hybrids? And one brother was very much against it. And if you watch Star Trek, there was something called the Prime Directive, which was, don't mess with the evolutionary track of a planet. If you go there, leave it like you found it, and let it evolve on its own. And there was some kind of Galactic Federation rule that was something like that. Don't mess with the planet. That was the Enlil brother. And the Enki brother then wanted to create procreation. And he did. And so the humans started procreating. And there was a big conflict between these two brothers. And the Enlil brother wanted to do away with the humans. And the Enki brother didn't. And what we find is the Sumerians... Oh, well, one of the questions we asked on this, we asked a question, and it was an interesting answer. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
I don't know if you remember the question. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. We asked the question, we asked them to tell us something or ask some question, and they said that one of the things that happened is that the humans, the Anunnaki had spaceships. They would come and they would go, and they would come and they would go, and the humans were kind of getting jealous of them, and they took over the spaceship because they wanted to see where it went, and they blew it up. And that
I remember that really clearly. And see it, like what they find in Adam's calendar are these circles of stones that are like very resonant stones. It's a very special kind of a stone, and there are circles. And what those circles were a place for the spaceship to land, and they would have a circle, and the spaceship would land, and they would use the resonance of those stones to change the dimension of the spaceship into the third dimension so that they could load the spaceship with gold. And
Was that in our session? Did that come up in our session? Or is that something you read from somebody?
No, that is something from my own memory of just my own bopping around, like, and asking questions.
Like you were there, right?
Yeah. I don't think I was there. It's like I was just looking at the Akashic records. And And the humans were working very, very hard. And they saw these opulent people, like the spaceships, and the spaceships had visitors, like sightseers on them. And part of the thing to pay for the trip was to stop and pick up the gold and take it to various planets for distribution. So the humans would see these opulent situations on the spaceship, and they thought it was unfair to them that they should just work in these hot conditions and just work, and here these vacationer people come and take the gold. And they didn't think it was fair, and so they decided, a group of them, about six, decided to take over the spaceship, and they were going to commandeer it, and but they didn't know how it operated. And so, you know, a couple of guys got on board, and a couple of the guys took over the mechanism for the transference of the spaceship before it took off. But they didn't understand how to run it so that it would take off normally. And they got everything, all the frequencies out of sync, and the spaceship blew up. And so that really put a big, they stopped stopping there. It wasn't safe.
Now, I wanted to say, one of the things that I read, and this didn't come from a channeling, but what I read was that the Anunnaki were having trouble controlling the humans. And they started to try to use fear to control them. And they gave the idea that they were the god. They were gods. And the humans were subservient. And that if they disobeyed, they'd be punished. And not just physically punished, but they probably had powers to psychically work with people, to psychically punish them, I don't know. But nonetheless, the idea was to create fear and to create this idea of a vengeful god. And the humans started running away, and they started going all over the place. And Sumeria, it seems like, was one of the first civilizations of the humans. And there might have actually been an Adam and Eve. And the Adam and Eve might have been the first of the hybrids that was created and gestated by the first woman. And maybe there was, this is just speculation, but, you know, in the Bible, there's the story of the temptation, and it seemed like sex was the taboo. So maybe were able to have sex, but they were forbidden to have it. They were given fear not to have it. That's just my speculation, because I don't have any evidence on that. But since that
I didn't ever look at the area.
Yeah, but since they weren't supposed to procreate, but now they're procreating. And now you have these two brothers kind of vying for control of the humans. And Sodom and Gomorrah, a lot of people would agree. Now, this is, again, something that I haven't researched. I mean, I haven't asked questions about, but I've researched it. A lot of indications were that Sodom and Gomorrah was a nuclear weapon set off by Enlil, working on destroying humans. And Noah's Ark was an effort of Enki trying to preserve the genetics of the humans so they could continue. And he was counseling Noah on this ark. And the gods of the Old Testament were by and large these aliens, these ETs, these Anunnaki. And if you read the Old Testament, you will see this, like, you know, they sent a fire down from the sky. And something came in the sky, and it was a chariot. And all kinds of things that they identified as God and weren't. And then there was Yahweh, who was definitely, I won't say definitely, but I would highly speculate, was connected to the Enlil energy, which was a god form that was trying to control people through fear and do this and make me happy, otherwise I'm a vengeful god. And they could be vengeful. I mean, they could have weapons, they could do all kinds of things, so they could scare the heck out of people, they could kill people, they nuked a city. So imagine if that's going on around you and somebody says, you better do what I say, you're going to be in trouble because I'm God. And certainly we'd all have to defer to a force like that, whether we liked it or not, just for our survival. So Yahweh was Enlil. And Jehovah was probably one of these guys. That's why there's so many names for God in the Old Testament. And then there is, who was the other one? Baal, you know, another, but he was not a Hebrew god. That was the Jezebel story, where one of the kings of the Hebrews had a wife who converted him to Baalism, when Baalism was a deity of fertility, sex, sacrifice. And so there was this duel between the Yahweh God and the Baal God, and the Yahweh God won, because I guess it's the way the duel worked is if you ever read the Old Testament, there was some kind of thing of wood, and they decided whoever could set the wood on fire, whichever group, there was the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Yahweh, whoever could set the wood on fire had the real God. So there were the prophets of Baal, and they couldn't get it to work. They were dancing. This is the way the Bible reads. And then there were the prophets of Yahweh, and they got it to catch fire. But now you can see that these expressions of phenomena that were happening didn't represent a supreme being. It represented a guy in a spaceship, my take, that was pulling it off. There's a couple of books out there, if you want to read this, Chariots of the Gods, I think by Eric Van Doniken. I mean, he has pictures. He shows there were landing strips. There were maps of the world. I mean, this is, when you read the stuff, there's so much evidence that it's cut and dry. And there's another book called The Gods of Eden, I think by William Bramley, which talks about all of this stuff. And when I asked the question about it, when I asked the Elohim, I said, well, who did you work with? This was a long time ago. This was before I even knew all this stuff. I was just like saying, oh, ask this question and see what they say. And I was still testing it. And I said, who did you work with in the Old Testament? And the answer was Solomon. They said Solomon connected with the Elohim and was able to bring a light around his people, and his people were happy. They could feel the energy. And, of course, when I read that, it was long, this was like seven years ago, and I wondered what that felt like. I wondered how he did that. And it was a mystery. And yet, it's not so different from the experience that we're having when we're on these calls, where I can just sit here in a little room or anywhere on the planet, and yet they will come in and they will lift the vibration everywhere. But in most cases of the Old Testament, that was not taking place. And probably even Moses, that was not taking place. I think, you know, when Moses had the Ten Commandments, according to Carla's channelings, the Ten Commandments came from a negative source, and that the Ra group would not word things, thou shalt not, they wouldn't do it. They said, you know, they do prohibitions, we would phrase everything in the positive. But what was happening was, now, you know, it's more complex because you probably had a bunch of rowdy people there, and people that couldn't be controlled, and a lower God form was trying to control them, give them ethics. If you give the benefit of the doubt, and the Ten Commandments came out in the negative as a result, to try to create fear, because negative rules, kind of like the Ubaga. I mean, you're not even supposed to think of another woman if you're married, and yet that could create an awful lot of guilt because guys can't control their minds and their emotions. They can control what they do, what they actually do, but things come up and they have thoughts, and I wouldn't counsel someone to beat themselves up for having a thought. And so we have Abraham, we have all these derivatives of these humans that were created kind of in a laboratory with human gestation. And then we have the first instance, you know, of, now I'm interested, there's an interesting question. I don't see what time it is now. It is 6:46. We might save these questions for next week. I mean, I have questions. Like, for example, we have read in the Ra material that the Ra group moved souls from Maldek to this planet. Maldek was the planet that exploded in asteroids, to continue their evolution. And how does that fit in with this genetic experimentation? Another thing is, we have this incident in South Africa that was the Old Testament, the beginning of man. How does that fit in with the people in Atlantis and the people in Lemuria? Where did they come from? Were they part of those humans? Or was there another creational aspect or landing of aliens or what that created those populations? Okay? So there's a lot of great questions here to pursue. And why is this important? Because this happened so long ago. Well, you know, we have the Enlil and the Enki groups. The Enlil group wanting to create slaves and or destroy the humans. The Enki group wanting to evolve the humans into spiritual awareness. And the Enlil group was afraid that the humans might end up having too much power if they had spiritual awareness. And so they did all kinds of things to stop that from happening. And that's, if you bring that into current time and you consider that maybe those are the paradigms that are still operative, it's more complex than that. I mean, we have aliens, we have Orions, we have reptilians, we have Pleiadians, but there's still a paradigm of the Enki, Enlil, Anunnaki, and that many of you have heard that one of the intents of the elite is to wipe out a huge population on this planet, 75%. Leave enough so they can have slaves and they can rollick here. And that's probably some of the reason behind some of the things that seem to make no sense, like chemtrails or fluoride in water or artificial sweeteners that have proven to be bad for you or drugs and medicine, which make a lot of money, but even with drugs that are not working well, they keep staying on the market. I'm not an expert at researching all those things, but I do know there's enough activity that says there's something not right in Dodge. Something's wrong. There's some kind of agenda that's behind the scenes, and many people have been quoted who are in the elite of talking about this population control and wiping out the population, and that was exactly what was happening then. So, you know, some of us might have been there. Some of us might have been in the Enlil clan. Some of us might have been in the Enki clan. Say, for example, Jesus would have been derivative of, obviously, the Enki template, which wanted to evolve humans to a higher spiritual awareness. And it's interesting how you can look through people in history and see how they slant from one side to the other. Now, you know, there was a show on television called Ancient Aliens, and I don't know how much of this they covered. I didn't watch it. I know David Wilcock was a guest, as were some of the other people, I believe Zachariah Sitchin and even Michael Trillinger, I think is his name, Trillinger, who Adam's Calendar, who wrote a lot about Adam's Calendar. And, you know, if you want to learn more, you can do a lot of Google searches. Write this down. Fascinating subject. Enki Enlil. Zachariah Sitchin. Anunnaki Gold Miners. Adam's Calendar. And there's a huge amount of stuff on the Internet about all of this. And it gives some insight as to some of what might be seemingly totally irrational moves by governments, by people in power, by bankers, and that this could be the thing that's behind it. And it's 6:52. I don't think we have time for a session.
I wanted to say that Michael Trillinger is coming to Sedona in August to talk.
I know that. I think he'd be an interesting guy to go see. And
yeah, I think so.
He's actually doing talks all over the place, so if this perked your interest, you can go put it on your calendar and check him out. And okay, thing that we can cover in 1 hour. You know, on some level, the Egyptians, there was, there was an tension with the Ra group attempting to shift things 10,500 B.C. when an early life of Edgar Cayce's walked this planet. He was a high priest in Egypt that had a connection with the Ra group. Of course, that's not said in the Edgar Cayce materials, but what is said, he did all these healings, that some of the Ra group actually manifested bodies that walked on this planet. They didn't come in through the birth canal. They came through a projection of light energy. Can you feel the energy when I'm talking about that? Jeez. They're paying attention. I get that they're loving that we're explaining this, because what happened was that whole episode that they did of trying to evolve all the humans and to change the template got picked up by the priests at the time, and they used it to increase their power and their eliteness. In other words, you see, you can use this kind of information. I could say, we're only going to give you a little bit, and then you have to pay all this money to get the rest. Or you have to worship us because we're connecting guys. And that's how the priesthoods work it. They make themselves overly important so that you have to give them energy, you have to give them money, and that's how they make their life on Earth more comfortable. Now, and many of them don't even know they're doing this. You see, it's kind of the tradition, and once you have a tradition, then it just kind of gets accepted. Everyone does it. Well, listen, let's take one moment. 6:56, we'll take one more minute, and let's just bring the energies in, create the intent to surround our with this love energy, surround that are reaching for the positive. All those people that wish they could find us, right at this moment, we ask our sources to work with us on this. And I don't bless you. I have blessings flowing through this work, surrounding you, connecting you, and that each of you can reach your highest potential and keep reaching. Don't give up. It's there. On that note, we'll end this call. Heise, are you there, Heise?